This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Thursday morning, January 23rd. It's nice to have you along. We don't do a lot of personal happy birthday shout-outs, but to my stepmom, Cheryl in Eau Claire, happy birthday to you. We love you. It was good to see you. Thank you for being such a good and wonderful part of our family. Coming up this hour, we're going to be talking about Governor Evers' State of the State Address. We'll be doing that with State Senator Jeff Smith from Eau Claire and Assembly Assistant Minority Leader Kaylin Haywood of Milwaukee. We'll talk about the things that the governor had in his address, but also the Republican reaction. It was predictably partisan from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and so we will ask Representative Haywood and Senator Smith where they think they might find some common ground in terms of crafting a state budget that lays out all the priorities for Wisconsin over the next 2 years. We had a bit of a deep dive into why we cover so much about state government here at Up North News and on Up North News Radio and on Civic Media as well. You can always go back and listen to previous episodes of Up North News Radio and all of our shows by heading over to civicmedia.us. Again, civicmedia.us, where you can find the stations, learn about the programs, listen to back episodes, and learn how to subscribe as a podcast so that you can listen on demand. You can reach us here at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use the Civic Media app to text us or call us, and you can leave comments on Facebook or YouTube, where we stream the show live every weekday morning from 6 until 8 o'clock. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has a couple of well-earned days off ahead here, so we'll look forward to visiting with her again down the road, but that doesn't stop us from visiting with Rob from Tigerton, who writes to us every morning on Facebook. He writes today, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear and 3 above, the wind chill 10 below. We got an inch of very fluffy snow. I was out at 3 a.m. plowing and salting. Highway 29 and 45 are in good winter shape. In western Shawnee County, some of the county and town roads have slippery spots, especially at intersections. He says, I was looking at weather history, and in January of 1963, Wausau had 20 straight days of below zero temperatures, with three of them 30 below or colder. Like that year, there wasn't much snow on the ground. And yeah, it was brutally cold here. And you're going to get that from time to time. And people go, well, why do you talk about the climate all the time? Well, it's some of the extremes and the way that they go. And temperatures all along the Gulf Coast right now are in the 20s or low 30s. And so they can't even melt the snow that fell there the other day. The Milwaukee Bucks game in New Orleans last night was postponed because of a snowstorm in New Orleans. And that's really all we had for sports to talk about. So there's your little bit of sports, a little bit of weather as well. And a reminder that if you'd like to sign up for our daily newsletter, head up over to upnorthnewswi.com. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. Don't forget that WI. Hit subscribe up in the top banner, and you can be a part of what Christina Laurie puts together every morning for all kinds of news, including a story today looking inside of Epic Medical Systems, the medical record software giant that's based in the Madison area. There's also a story about the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. It was mentioned last night by Governor Evers in his State of the State address, what it is, the many ways that that line is more accessible than ever for anybody that thinks they may be in a position to harm themselves or others potentially. And also, she's got a story on the 17 biggest concerts coming to Wisconsin in 2025 so far. There's already a good number of shows that are booked, so if you're waiting for warmer weather and live music, You can catch that over on our website and at the newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, at 7-Eleven, I want to bring in Mark Rice now from the nonprofit Wisdom. And it's a group that's dedicated to several different ideas, one of them being immigrant rights. The other is about nature. The other is about lockdowns, ending detrimental lockdowns, improving prison connections, connecting families better. It's something that Mark Rice has organized for tirelessly and joins us as a Wisdom campaign coordinator today. Mark Rice, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm good. And you?
Good, good. It's nice to have you here today. We were waiting to see, you know, exactly whether there was much said from the governor in his State of the State address. But obviously, the more important step is coming up, and that would be what's in the state budget bill and what this legislature passes. And so we'll get in a moment to what you hope to see in the budget or in separate legislation. But let's start with a little bit of background first about Wisdom or yourself and the whole issue of why there is such an organized campaign to improve prison conditions in Wisconsin.
Sure. The state of Wisconsin forced me to spend a few years in the state prison system back in the late 90s. And went in when I was 19 years old, got out when I was 21 years old. And when I got out, I was under the supervision of the Department of Corrections for several years. So I became very familiar with several of the issues that I work on today. In 2011, Wisdom launched a campaign called the 11 by 15 campaign. That campaign aimed to cut Wisconsin's prison population in half to 11,000 by the end of 2015. And we're continuing that on now under the name of Transformational Justice. One of our priorities is to advance racial justice in Wisconsin. We're still working to cut the state's prison population in half. We also aim to dramatically cut the number of people under supervision in the state of Wisconsin. Many people are under the supervision of the Department of Corrections who are out in the community. We aim to advance narratives that humanize people who've gone through the system. And we also have some rights restoration campaigns. We aim to end perpetual punishments for people with conviction records. And this campaign came out. We know that Minnesota already incarcerates people at half the rate that Wisconsin does. Minnesota has half as many people in their prison system, and Minnesota and Wisconsin are very similar. And so that was one of the ideas that was lifted up during the 11 by 15 campaign, and we still continue that on today. We already know that it's being done in Minnesota. It's being done even in some of the more Republican-leaning states like Texas has actually closed prisons, expanded treatment alternatives to incarceration, has reduced the number of people going back to prison for what we call technical violations or convictionless revocations. People are out in the community but have violated some sort of rule of supervision. So those are the types of common sense changes that Wisconsin can also benefit from.
Do you feel like in some ways the state and the country are still enduring, I don't know if hangover is the right word, the 1994 crime bill? Long before Drill Baby Drill, there was Build Baby Build, where it was just building prisons for the sake of warehousing. People thought they were being tough on crime, but it feels more like they've caused problems that still ripple through to this day.
Absolutely. The 1994 crime bill had a devastating impact, particularly on Wisconsin. It gave states the incentive to push through harsh sentencing laws like Truth and Sentencing Wisconsin. Wisconsin pushed through one of the harshest truth and sentencing laws in the nation. And really in Wisconsin, mass supervision drives mass incarceration. Truth and Sentencing really extended community supervision sentences. And then Wisconsin is one of the worst states when it comes to reincarcerating people for rule violations. People were out under supervision. So people are being sent back in many situations for minor allegations that do not involve serious new convictions. There are about 3,000 people being sent back to prison for convictionless revocations each year. And really, there's a consensus nationwide that the nation went too far. So we saw President Biden utilizing his authority to commute sentences, to pardon sentences to people gone through the system. Governor Evers has done some pardons, but he has not yet started to use his commutation power, which would reduce the prison population. He can actually go back and address excessive sentencing and utilize that commutation power. That's one of the central issues that WISDOM has been working on. So with or without legislation, Governor Evers can certainly reduce the prison population by going back and looking at it from a racial justice perspective, an economic justice perspective. Wisconsin detains Black people and Indigenous people at one of the highest rates in the country. We know that Black and Brown and Indigenous people are highly disproportionately impacted by the prison system in Wisconsin. Also, poor people are disproportionately impacted. So certainly there's a role that Governor Evers plays in that. And also legislative change is needed, particularly through the state budget, as you're saying. And so that's a start when we have a huge opportunity coming up with the state budget to start to turn things around in Wisconsin.
Well, and that takes me back to this notion again for folks who are saying, well, you know, then they shouldn't have committed the crime, and they think that harsh sentencing and prison warehousing will have this kind of effect, much like they say about capital punishment. Well, you know, if you send this tough on crime message, it'll stop or prevent crime. It did not, which gets us into the whole notion of whether it's restorative justice or other alternatives to incarceration. Are those kinds of things proven to do more to reduce crime and reduce recidivism?
Absolutely. We know that right now it's really time to reimagine how Wisconsin can create safer, stronger, and healthier communities. WISDOM right now, one of our priority campaigns is what we call the Justice Reinvestment Campaign. So number one, we have four main demands with that campaign. Number one, no new prisons. So Wisconsin does not need to build a new prison. There's discussion about closing Green Bay Correctional Institution, closing Waupun Correctional Institution, but some want to build a new prison. And certainly there's no need to build a new prison in Wisconsin. Wisconsin can reduce the prison population in half by pushing forward common sense decarceration policies. Wisconsin can increase treatment alternatives to incarceration on the front end. There's an earned release program for people who are currently incarcerated that would enable them to get out early by participating in treatment programming. On the back end, many people are being sent back for technical violations. 3,000 people each year are going back with no new convictions. So just simply by starting to move forward some of those common sense decarceration policies, the prison population could be cut in half. And then that enables Wisconsin to reallocate resources back into the communities that have been most harmed by incarceration. So instead of utilizing punitive measures as a response to many of these problems, Wisconsin can start to address the root causes of the problems. Policymakers can then invest in living wage jobs, in safe, affordable housing, in violence prevention programs, treatment programs.
So many ways that this is smarter spending. Can you hang around till after the break? We'll get another question or two in.
Absolutely.
All right. We're talking with Mark Rice from WISDOM, and we'll continue our questions right after this break. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
That's Ray Charles, part of the first class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that was introduced, unveiled on this day in history back in 1986. This is Up North News Radio at 7:22, and we are talking to Mark Rice from the group WISDOM. We've been talking about alternatives to incarceration and prison reform, and Mark is kind enough to stick around for a couple of extra minutes here because we were just talking about the ways that these things save money for taxpayers as well as are better for society at large. If you can keep people from committing new crimes, if you can get them the mental health resources that they need. There were a couple of things mentioned in the State of the State address that I wanted to ask you about as well, Mark. There was the whole notion of an Office of Violence Prevention that can coordinate more activities in the community that can get at the root causes of crime. He also talked about access to guns, not just for people who would commit crimes and hurt others, but potentially harm themselves. and also bringing back the 48-hour waiting period before you can buy a handgun. Of those things there, do you hear things that would be net positives for the work that Wisdom is trying to do in the communities?
Certainly, violence prevention is a priority for us. So the central aim of the campaign is to build safer, stronger, and healthier communities. And I believe there are opportunities with violence prevention programs to really address some of those root causes of crime. And I am concerned about law enforcement being overly involved. And I hope, my hope is that a more punitive approach is not utilized. And so I think implementation is going to be key, but there's certainly opportunities. So there's been in Madison and Milwaukee, there's a history there of successfully utilizing violence prevention programs to reduce violent crime. Racine has been doing some good work recently as well. So there's a history there. Many directly impacted people have been involved. People have been directly impacted by violence, by directly impacted by incarceration, who are on the ground, really have experience in those communities. And so I feel really positively if it's led by people who are most impacted by those issues on the ground, and if it's really focused on addressing root causes rather than moving forward punitive measures to deal with the problems, then I am optimistic about that.
You have been quoted extensively by reporting done in the Wisconsin Examiner as part of their criminal justice project, which aims to shine a light on incarceration, law enforcement, and criminal justice issues. And one of the more recent topics that you've talked about is third-party review of the state's prison system. And it's been pretty well documented, some of the issues with solitary confinement and punitive pricing for phone calls, certainly access to mental health, to climate, not such harsh climate conditions. Where do you feel like the state is on this third-party review and its ability to make some net positive changes for incarceration in Wisconsin?
Certainly getting independent prison oversight in place is a priority for Wisdom in this legislative session. We've been working with an organization called Ladies of SCI, who have loved ones who are currently incarcerated in the Wisconsin state prison system. And Wisconsin has brought in a consulting firm, Falcon. Rick Ramish is actually a part of that, who was the executive director of the Colorado Department of Corrections. And while he was in that position, he actually ended long-term solitary confinement in Colorado prisons. We want Wisconsin to follow that and end long-term solitary confinement. We know that solitary confinement is torture. The United Nations considers spending more than 15 consecutive days in solitary confinement to be torture. And those of us who have experienced it, we know that solitary confinement is torture, has a devastating impact on the mental health of individuals. And so that needs to be a priority. But also, we're skeptical. So we've worked with the Department of Corrections in the past on several studies. I've been a part of a few studies that focused on ending excessive revocations in Wisconsin. And the recommendations were presented to the Department of Corrections, and the vast majority of the recommendations were never implemented. So they were presented with the best practices in the field. We partnered with Columbia University Justice Lab in New York City with some of the nation's leading researchers and community corrections practitioners, brought those recommendations to Secretary Carr. Unfortunately, most of those recommendations were never implemented. And if they were, they were not continued. There was a long-term sustainable commitment to that. Previously, we partnered with Human Impact Partners to do a health impact assessment on excessive revocations. Those recommendations from that study never implemented. So we really need this independent oversight to hold the Department of Corrections accountable, because there's a history of them not really following through with the recommendations and best practices, even when they're presented with that. So that's really crucial. And there's a humanitarian crisis within the Wisconsin prison system right now. There's overcrowding in the system. The population's going up. There's a humanitarian crisis, particularly in older prisons that are falling apart. We have some of the most inhumane prisons in the United States, like Green Bay Correctional Institution, Waupun Correctional Institution, Milwaukee Secure Detention Facility in Milwaukee. And we need to immediately depopulate those prisons. People have been dying. People have not been able to receive adequate access to health care. So we need to extend that conversation about mental health to within prisons and people returning home from prison. So certainly the focus in the governor's State of the State address, certainly we support the expansion of mental health services for youth. But I feel like there must be a broader conversation. That's one of the concerns with all of the issue task forces of WISDOM right now, a central concern of all of our task forces has been mental health. So it's not just, we can't just focus on one population, but have to focus on the mental health of everyone. There's about 1 million people in the state of Wisconsin with a conviction or arrest record. There's 23,000 people incarcerated, nearly 23,000 people currently incarcerated in the state of Wisconsin prison system. Many of them are in solitary confinement. So we really, and you know, there's had been the long-term lockdowns. So the conditions of confinement really has to be a priority as well, but also there's must be a focus on reducing the prison population, starting to use some of those common sense measures. And the state budget is an opportunity. So we certainly need an increase in the state's treatment alternatives and diversions program. That's going to be a priority moving forward. There needs to be an increase in funding for the earned release program within Wisconsin prisons. Those are immediate measures that Wisconsin could take to get people connected to community-based services, community-based healthcare, mental health care, and to get them that treatment that they need in community, not within the prison system. We know that prisons can often exacerbate the problems that people already have, make problems worse. So it's really about prevention. And the research shows that there's a lot of research behind that treatment alternatives and diversions program that shows it's really going to improve public health and also save money.
Good. So let me share a comment on Facebook from Ardith, who says, I'm watching Mark Rice and thinking of the many stories he has to tell about the state's broken prison system. I admire him for fighting to escape his past and for helping to fix the system. I'd like to hear more of his ideas. Please invite him back. Consider that to be done because we've run out of time here. Mark, thank you. Please do come back and help us follow the progress of this legislature. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. We'll talk to two state lawmakers about the State of the State address coming up right after this. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Well, you know I can be found sitting alone. If you can't come around, at least please telephone. Don't be cool.
Robin Zander of Cheap Trick turning 72 today, the pride of Beloit. You can stay up to date on our unabashedly Wisconsin news by signing up for our newsletter. It's over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top page and make me look good, because that's a big part of what we do here is promoting our newsletter, getting subscribers, and getting you to know more about what we do here at Up North News. I was just looking at a news alert here, and I don't have any details, but just enough to share that CNN has announced that they are going to lay off 200 people in their traditional television roles, but they're then going to hire about 200 people in new digital roles, meaning more about streaming and more across the web and less about their traditional TV channel. So it's not a wash. The network will still be the worse off for not having experienced broadcast journalists on board. So talking about the state of the state, we are hoping to hear from State Senator Jeff Smith in just a bit. I do know that we have State Representative Kalen Haywood, the Assembly Assistant Minority Leader. I believe he's with us as well. Representative Haywood, are you with us this morning?
Good morning. Yes, I am. How are you?
There you are. Well, I'm great, especially since you're a step ahead of Senator Smith, who now Jeff and I go back, you know, 30 some years. So I recall when Jeff was in the Assembly and he would be on time for things. Now he's a senator and now he's a big deal. And you know how those senators are.
The
former senator. Yeah, we just, the senitude never goes away. Appreciate you being here to talk a bit about the state of the state and also the Republican response to it. So can I just kind of get your 30,000 foot view of what you took away from the governor's remarks?
Yeah, you know, I've seen the governor give his seventh state of the state now. And last night I was proud, not just as a state rep and as a colleague, but as a Wisconsinite. The things that the governor talked about in the state address were things that we as legislative Democrats, we heard over the last year as we've knocked thousands of doors. And one thing that stood out, no matter if you were in a blue district, a red district, or a purple district, is folks wanted to talk about the rising costs. And last night, I think folks, over the last year, folks have told us about how expensive things were, how hard it was to meet everyday needs and put food on the table. And I think last night, Governor Evers acknowledged that plan and acknowledged that struggle. And what was important is, like, Governor Evers did not just have a concept of what a plan could be. He laid out what a clear plan could be to address the issue. And no, rather that was reducing childcare costs or providing healthy school meals for our children in school, lowering prescription drug costs so folks aren't picking between putting food on the table and having life-saving medication. Governor Evers laid out a clear plan of what it means to address these core kitchen table issues. I was really proud of the governor, as I am every year when he gives a state of the state, and also just looking at our state's financial situation. I think due to the leadership of Governor Evers and legislative Democrats, our state's one of the best financial situations has been in state history. So just all in all, last night, we know we have work to do in Wisconsin for sure to get things done for the people. But I think last night I was proud to see this, Governor Evers highlight the positive things that have happened and that we can do if we work together.
I have to say, and this is admittedly, this is very inside baseball, but I like to take people behind the curtain now and then. To me, was watching Republicans react when the governor talked about how he signed tax cuts into place, and Republicans want to say, hey, wait, those were our tax cuts. Well, what they're not saying is, well, Governor Evers had to veto the parts of it where you wanted to give so much more to the very wealthy. So exactly. while that final budget may not have attracted, you know, all of the Democratic votes, it was a Democratic governor's veto pen that actually right-sized those tax cuts. And so I feel like everybody can take a little bit of credit for making sure that there was a more proper tax cut out there. Now you have to turn your attention to having a $4 billion surplus. And there are a lot of people that are going to say, hey, wait, you know, $2 billion should go here and $2 billion should go to tax cuts or $2 billion should go to schools, and pretty soon it's all gone. Now, we're not going to settle the whole thing right here, but what I've said pretty consistently is, as somebody who was a Democratic senator, I would concede the notion of, let's start with how much of that $4 billion could go toward a middle-class tax cut. A right-sized middle-class tax cut, especially maybe property taxes, as Leader Neubauer told us a week or two ago here, and Senator Hesselbein as well. And then we can address how much should be invested into, you know, education and safety programs and everything else. But again, that's my view from the outside. But what are your feelings on maybe the first order of business is to figure out the tax cut that kind of attracts Republicans, and then you can kind of go on with all the rest of the state budget?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, the fact that our state has a state surplus is putting us in a phenomenal situation. There are some states around this country, as I'm sure you are aware, who operate in deficit every year. We in Wisconsin have a strong economy, a strong budget, and we have a chance with the multi-billion dollar surplus to really invest it back in the people. And I think that there's bipartisan support for a tax cut, but it's about how that tax cut looks. And I think you mentioned earlier the Republican tax cut proposed last session was giving the biggest portion of that tax cut to some of the ultra wealthy and wealthiest folks in Wisconsin, and not focusing enough on the middle and lower classes and the folks who really need that tax cut, who will feel that impact and again be able to put food on the table. So I think that when you look at our surplus now, I think that looking at how we can provide some tax relief for our residents, whether that be through some of the taxes they pay through income tax, but also property tax is high. I live in a district. I live near my part. I represent downtown Milwaukee and parts of North Side near downtown. And property taxes are insane. I mean, that's literally affecting residents of all kinds. That's affecting how we attract young families into Wisconsin and into cities like Milwaukee, but also affecting our residents who are retired, who have done public service and are now on fixed incomes and are struggling to meet the rising costs. So I think that our state budget not only provides opportunities, but that state surplus that Republicans refuse to spend and refuse to work with us on how to get that done and deliver it back to people through significant investments is an opportunity for us to do right by the people of Wisconsin. And every day our Republican colleagues push back and want to be inactive and not move forward on that. They're really doing disservice to the folks they represent.
They do. And Assembly Speaker Voss obviously is trying to keep his block together and not to have any defections. But as we know, with newer maps, fairer maps, you're going to have Republicans in close districts. I'm going to pick on one in particular. Benjamin Franklin is the new representative in the 88th district. Why am I singling him out? Because it was the closest assembly race in the state. He defeated Christy Welch by just 221 votes out of 34,000 votes that were cast. So, you know, nobody can tell me there isn't room for a few of these Republicans to maybe put some separation between themselves and Speaker Voss, go back to the 88th district and say, you know, while my other Republican friends didn't want to do anything, we got this much done. To what degree do you share that optimism that you're going to have some of your Republican colleagues join you in, you know, making some of these proposals more bipartisan?
Yeah, I'm always optimistic. That's what keeps me going in this job. With the numbers being close and us being at 45 seats in the legislature and our Senate colleagues also gaining seats as well in the Senate, now is the time. We are in two divided government, but now is the time to work together. Both sides need to work together to get this done. And although that, you know, you hear Republicans talk about us having close seats, Republicans also have really close seats. And you lay one out for us. So hope that our folks who are in these close seats that see those numbers and see that how people responded, but they really pay attention to those numbers and they figure out how to come to the table and work together. If you want to be successful in this job, if you want to maintain that seat, or if you want to make sure you're representing the folks truly that you were elected to serve, you will come to the table and work together. So I'm optimistic. I'm imploring my colleagues to come work together and work across the aisle as we do as Democrats all the time to get stuff done. We got to serve all Wisconsinites, and that comes from working together and coming to the table. So I'm optimistic. I hope so. I'm not sure how many folks are going to be willing to break the status quo and break rank, but it's time for it to happen now. The people of Wisconsin want it to happen now.
This next topic is admittedly an emotional one for a lot of legislators. It clearly was emotional for the governor last night, and I knew former State Representative Jonathan Brostoff years ago as well. His death from suicide, of course, a tremendous tragedy. As somebody who he pointed out himself, that rapid access to guns by those who are severely depressed is not a good thing, and it should be addressed. And yet, after those heartfelt remarks, after putting a face on it by one of their own colleagues, you heard Speaker Voss call it a cheap political stunt, which tells me it's impossible to humanize anything for Speaker Voss to get him to understand the humanity of a problem. So his offensive remark to Governor Evers, trying to draw the connection as to why, you know, some policies would be good ideas, does not give me a lot of optimism that something can get passed in this session. But I wonder if you might be able to help that and tell me that you think maybe there will be any kind of progress on whether it's firearm access, you know, waiting periods, at the very least, red flag laws that like 80 to 90% of Wisconsinites support.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, the fact that the speaker would even suggest that the governor would use the unfortunate passing of our former colleague, our friend, Jay Bro, as a political stunt is insane. And knowing Jay Bro and working with Jay Bro, the laws that were put forth, the proposals that were put forth by Governor Evers, I know he'd be in support of. He would want folks to keep themselves safe. That's one thing he always stood for, is fighting for everyone and their prosperity. I thought if there was nothing else in the budget address the state of state address that Republicans could have got behind and supported, I thought that would be one. But, you know, it's my hope that although people say things in the media and there's political grandstanding that happens, and posturing that happens, I still feel like folks have to come to the table. Like, read the writing on the wall. You have to come to the table and work together, or just, things won't work out in the future for you. It's just the people of Wisconsin want to see us work together. They are so sick and tired of partisan gridlock. And so I hope that as we knock doors, I hope they hopefully knock doors as well. And they met with Wisconsinites who told them that they want to see these things happen. And Wisconsinites are sick and tired of the excuse of not being able to get nothing done because of partisan politics. They get it. But they want stuff to get done.
They do. They do get it. And I appreciate you answering all these questions, you know, as Assistant Minority Leader in the State Assembly. So let me take a moment
just to ask from a personal standpoint, you know, representing your district and your everything you've done to be in the assembly. Is there anything else that is a personal priority for you in this session, either in the budget or as separate legislation that that is going to motivate you over the next few months?
Yeah, I think my theme for the year is keeping folks safe. And that's through public safety, making sure that in Milwaukee or around the state as a whole, residents are safe, whether that's from gun violence or reckless driving. But make sure no matter where you are in the state, especially in Milwaukee, that you can walk to the grocery store, walk to the doctor, walk to church, walk to school, and be safe in your communities. That's priority one. But also be safe economically, making sure my residents can put food on the table. I always talk about how I represent a tale of two cities. I have downtown Milwaukee, where some CEOs make seven figures, and I have parts of the city where some residents really make the minimum wage, and they work multiple jobs to make ends meet. So there's not economic safety and security in that. And we want to make sure we ensure folks have economic safety and security, make sure they put food on the table. Again, not picking between putting food on the table and life-saving prescription drugs, or putting food on the table and paying the energy bill, or putting food on the table and anything else that needs to get done, making sure folks have the economic prosperity and security to feel safe at home and in the communities. So both physical safety and economic safety, I think, for me, are two priorities, and also making sure that we bridge and marry the tale of two cities. My district is a representation of Wisconsin. We have some very wealthy Wisconsinites, and we have Wisconsinites all across the state who are working, again, minimum wage jobs to make the, multiple minimum wage jobs to make the ends meet. So we got to figure out how to not only the bridge the tale of two cities, but the tale of two states. And so for me, that is the goal of this session. And I'm sure that my colleagues on the Democratic side, and hopefully my colleagues on the Republican side, can see that and help make that happen.
It was a focus of mine as somebody who has lived in Milwaukee, who has lived in Rice Lake, is to get folks to understand that you guys have way more in common, you know, than you know, and that you should have legislators working toward that. Glad to hear you're one of them. State Representative Kaylin Haywood, Assistant Minority Leader. Thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to checking in with the rest of your colleagues throughout the session. Have a great day.
Thank you, too.
All right. When we come back, Luke Mathers will be along as well to tell us what to expect all along the Civic Media Radio Network. And just a few other closing words about the state of the state. The governor said this is the year of the kid. And the things that are in there should be slam dunks for anybody that wants to provide a good environment for our kids. If you can't, what are you doing? What are you earning that check for? We'll talk more about that in the coming days, but Luke Mathers is coming up next. Don't be cruel
to Hawkins Street. You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
The late Anita Pointer of the Pointer Sisters was born this day in 1948, singing There's the Pointer Sisters. Anita was sometimes with them, sometimes not. This was a Pointer Sisters hit, He's So Shy. Words never used to describe Luke Mathers, the handsome and capable Luke Mathers. Did I get that right, Greg?
You did. The very okay. Handsome and capable Luke Mathers.
There you go. And Aurora joining us as well.
Yeah, she's on her little chair. She hasn't been too far away these last couple days.
What kind of breed is Aurora?
She is a red merle for Australian shepherds. So she mini Australian shepherd, but then a red merle.
Oh, didn't know that. Good day, Aurora. Good day, little puppy. All right.
You know, see, that's why sometimes she doesn't pay attention. You know, she speaks a different language.
Yeah, she just doesn't. She's not picking up on your dialect. That's all.
Yeah, well, that's it.
All right. Pat, I have a really quick question about the song we're playing from the Pointer Sisters, He's So Shy. Yeah. Is it too 80s to be yacht rock? I feel like if you took out the synth and put in something else, it would be peak yacht rock.
Actually, I would put it in there. Yes. Okay. I'll allow it.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you, Captain.
As one of the arbiters of what is and is not yacht rock, exactly. Mr. Mathers, as our one of our resident big Milwaukee Bucks fans, along with Dan Schaefer and Joseph Pecky, I say again, tongue in cheek, it just blows me away. Did you ever think a Bucks game would be canceled by a snowstorm in New Orleans?
Nope. No, it was not on my 2025 bingo card. I like kind of, I was at first, I knew it was snowing. in the South. I didn't know, I guess, until that news came across yesterday, truly how much snow was going along kind of the Gulf Coast down there, the Gulf of Mexico coast, down there. But the amount of snow that New Orleans got would still probably be a questionable amount of snow for Milwaukee. I don't think it would have canceled the game if we were the hosts of it, but
no, but 5 to 8 inches.
Yeah.
You know, that's a bit to go through anyway. Now go to a place with no sandy trucks, no salt trucks, no plows. There was some great video of, and I don't know what city it was from, but it was municipal workers in the back of a city pickup truck sitting on the tailgate, slowly going down the road with like scoops of salt and just manually shaking the salt onto the road. Not very effectively, because Lord knows they're not practiced at it. But I mean, at that rate, they probably did two streets.
You gotta throw the salt came. Just like you throw the beads. Come on, like there's transferable aspects. So you just gotta get out there and be tossing the salt around.
And when you throw the salt, people like put their jackets on. They're like, ah, it's
yes,
cold.
Yes, yes.
I think 5 to 8 inches in Wisconsin would not cancel the game. I think it definitely would make people say, you know what, the tickets aren't that great. We didn't spend a lot of money. I'll stay home tonight.
Especially the season ticket holders. Yeah. Like the season ticket holders, I'm sure are like, do I want to brave the elements? But I mean, it is fascinating to see that we are having these more and more extreme weather conditions.
Isn't
for
it?
Areas around the country. And folks are just like, well, I guess this is the new normal without connecting the dots. That's the strange part. But a snowball fight in Bourbon Street sounds like kind of a lot of fun.
I feel like you gotta take those snowball, pour some booze on it, then throw it at someone.
Just a hurricane coming, like a frozen hurricane. Yeah. There you go.
We call this a snowstorm.
I guess I'm not looking at any kind of a live feed right now, but I guess the Oscar nominations are coming out right about now. And so I mentioned the other day seeing Conclave, which I'm sure is going to be up for some Oscar nods. Are you an Oscar fan, or have you reached the point like us where you go, I don't know half these movies anymore?
I can't even remember what movies all came out last year, let alone which ones are good enough to be up for awards. So I'm going to leave that expertise to Pete Schwabba and the folks at Nightlight. And I'm sure Pete's going to have an excellent take on what will come out for Oscars. But to me, I'm on the side of the argument that Marvel is great. I'm looking forward to that's
Captain
my
America?
When I go to the movies, that's what I like to go see. So I'm going to go see Brave New World shortly after it comes out in the middle of February. Daredevil Reborn is coming Disney Plus in the beginning of March. I've watched the trailer probably half a dozen or so times already, just because it's so exciting that Charlie Cox is back as Matt Murdock. But it's that's kind of how I don't need the Oscar buzz films. I just want to see a really good story through superheroes when I go for my entertainment.
I'm kind of like Aurora is right now, just looking around the room going, I don't know any of this Marvel stuff that you're talking about. But I don't mean to end on a serious note, but I have to, because I have not mentioned meteorologist Sam Cuffell being let go at CBS 58 in Milwaukee for properly calling out Elon Musk for making a Nazi salute. And I'm not here to tell the civic media bosses how to spend their money, but, you know, If Sam Cuffell's on the market, add her to the team. Somebody's going to add her to the team right away, because they understand right versus wrong. And I'm just here to say that I stand with Sam, along with a whole lot of people, that nobody should be getting fired for calling out a Nazi salute. That seems kind of basic to me.
Yeah, and it's interesting that the contingent of folks out there that are free speech and let's make sure that everybody can say what they want to say until, oh, wait, you criticize my favorite billionaire? Fine. We're going to tattle on you to your employers. And ultimately, Sam got fired because somebody decided to go tattle.
Yeah.
And that tattletale knows who he is.
Yes. One of the ultimate snowflakes that's out there. So I just wanted to get that.
Oh, I need to know more now.
Right. Oh, go read the Journal Sentinel story. It's pretty easy to find out who the big tattletale is.
Yes. Mr. Mathers, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Pat.
All right. And Greg Bach is back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air along with Jane Matt and Air. So join us for that. Our usual Friday panel joins us tomorrow for our weekend review. So come around for that. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great Thursday. See you tomorrow morning up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.